Say, Ken.
Yes, sir.
What's cooking tonight?
Why, this is our St. Patrick's Day program.
With water in the grill.
And incidentally, your arms.
Oh, where the blue of the night meets the green of today. A shamrock waits for me.
Time, but it's Sunshine in Hollywood with John Stepstarter, his orchestra, the Rhythm Heirs, and his guest, Margaret O'Brien. Now we bring you Kate Harrigan's greenest donor, Bing Crosby.
Thanks. How'd you know that my mother's maiden name was Harrigan?
Oh, I checked with your brother, Everett.
Oh, well, that's right. He's the family historian. He's also in charge of the pigs. Paddy's pigs, that is. Now, Ken, before we lose this Hibernian mood, the Rhythm Heirs, John Scott, and myself would like to do a song made immortal by Whispering Pat Harrington. Are we done? Dear old Donegal.
Three years ago this very day, I left the port of Cork, and on a ship from Old Evans Isle, I landed in New York. Without a friend to meet me there, and a stranger on the shore, but I wore an honest Irish heart, and fortune came to lore. So here I am back again on dear old Erin's Isle, and the friends, they meet me on the quay, and they greet me with a smile. But the source is there that I surely forgot, for I was so long away. But the mother, she introduces all, and this is what she says. Well, they gave a party when I came back, and they came from near and far, and the road was lined for near a mile with Irish shopping cars, and the whiskey flowed like buttermilk, in our hearts with joy, and the piper played an Irish reel with the Yankee boy. Tomorrow out to church I'll go, and the wedded I will be to my pretty little calling, sweet Biddy McGee. For Biddy was true and faithful to her barn or the sea, and would join the harp and shamrock to the stars of liberty. Jack and Brannigan, Fannigan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McGuffy, Malachi, Mahone, the Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connelly, Dooley, O'Hooley, Muldowney, Malone. Kelowna, oh, Kelowna. How did you get in there? Politics, eh? Shanahan, Manahan, Fogarty, Fogarty, Kelly, O'Shilly, McGinnis, McGinn. Then I'll take the hand of me Uncle Mike, and the hand of me Sister Kate, and I'll hug and I'll squeeze as much as I please the girl on the garden gate. Then I'll invite all the neighbors to my wedding great and small, and I'll live content and pay no rent in
straight from the old side. You took and rattled off those Irish names, then.
Oh, there's a lot of them, Ken. Harmon's, Hogan's, O'Dooley's. I could go on forever. The O'Toole's, the O'Reilly's, the O'Melvin's.
Yeah. Say, Bing, I've often wondered, are there any O'Filco's in Ireland?
When did you often wonder that?
Just now.
Well, I don't know if there's any O'Filco family there. Why don't you call Pat O'Brien, check with him. He'll know.
Oh, really?
No, O'Brien.
Oh. Well, anyhow, Bing, they've got to have radio programs in Ireland, don't they?
Oh, sure.
What kind do they have?
Oh, about the same as we have here.
Yeah?
They got Phil Fogarty and his all-Colleen orchestra.
Oh, fine.
They got a program called Truth with a Bat in Your Hand to you. One called People Are Funny, But Watch Out Who You Laugh At.
Yes.
And there's Amos and Seamus.
Oh, I like that.
John's Other Judge. And The Rise of the Goldbergs. big over there.
Well, those sound like great shows, Bing. And whether there's an Ococo family in Ireland or not, I'm sure lots of folks there listen to Ococo radio.
Certainly. The dream jobs are the Shamrock push buttons and the clay pipe tubes.
And in Ireland, like everywhere else, no matter what you listen to, all programs sound better on Ococo.
You're so right. Let's have it, Ken, and make it short.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not long for this commercial. So long to the new listeners will be for snapping up Ococo's sensational new plastic portable. One fast look at a listener, and you're in business with the quickest, smartest portable radio you ever flipped a switch on. Lightweight plastic case in your choice of four colors, every one an eye catcher. So is the price. Ococo quality all the way through at a sensationally low cost. Please on into your Ococo dealer now and catch the performance of this new portable champion from Philco, the leader.
Roy and Woods forsake the little mares at this point to join me in Jack Booker's new team Saturday day. But just the way she sang on record with Harry Babbitt for Case Hollywood. Hello, honey. Do you look swell? Hi, Ben.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, but don't just stand there. Come on in.
But haven't we got places to go? A lot of things to do?
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to stay at home. You know, if it's all the same to you.
Well, okay. I got a Saturday day with my everyday sweetheart.
And we can't be fair. A wonderful evening at home.
We'll be dining in the kitchen,
dancing in the parlor,
talking when the lights are low.
And just dancing,
listening to the radio.
On a Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
Honey, just sit over here where the lights are low.
Just you
and
I on the radio.
Are you happy?
Happy?
Love me?
Yes.
You comfortable?
I'm comfortable.
Shall we dance?
Oh, yes.
On my Saturday day with my everyday sweetheart. It's a pleasure to be alone
in a world that we call our own.
Will you do this again?
Well, now you tell me when.
On our Saturday day?
Well, I can hardly wait.
Cause we're a couple of day at home on Saturday night. Special date book for a long time, let me say, that here's a perfect example of what happens when you mix sugar and spice and everything nice. The very charming and talented Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star, Miss Margaret O'Brien. Margaret, it's really nice to see you again. May I take this opportunity to wish you a very joyous St. Patrick's Day?
Shouldn't I, my thank you, Mr. Crosby, and just the very thing so wonderful to hear.
You'll bless my blackamoor. That is what Gerald in a hair ribbon he got here.
Sure, it is a brand new glorious day that they set aside in honor of St. Patrick.
Yes, sure, and it is that nice in the girl. And let me add that I've never seen you looking more beautiful. Your eyes, they glitter like the Irish sun dancing across the waters of the River Salmon. And your cheeks of the country coloring of the wild Irish hills.
Oh, Mr. Crosby, you and your blondie. How you do go on, and please do go on.
There's no brown in the picture. It's in your heart.
So you can make it now.
Certain it is. And if I'm not telling the truth, may the leprechauns put the whammy on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid indeed.
Well, Mr. Crosby, as long as you said so many nice things about me, now I offer you a little blind.
What do you mean?
Hearing your voice is like an iris to us pouring out its heart. And your eyes are as blue as the skies over the lakes of Canaanis. And those clothes you're wearing.
Yes.
Canaanis rainbow.
Roger, we better cut this out or we'll have Ajax Cassidy moving in here from Allen's Alley.
I guess you're right, Mr.
I'm sure happy to see you tonight because I want to thank you for something, Margaret.
What's that?
Well, I must say that during the past year, you've had a remarkable influence on my youngest son, Winnie.
He's so charming. And you know, Winnie was almost voted the most popular boy in our class.
Well, who ran first?
Leslie Peterson.
Leslie Peterson?
He gave us all the news, I
suppose. Everybody went home. I remember that vacation you all had. Tell me, Margaret, how's Winnie doing in school?
All right, I guess. Can't you see his report card?
Report card? You certainly don't understand that they don't have report cards at your school.
Oh, well, maybe they just give report cards to the girls at our school.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Mr. Crosby, they're both very good in everything, but history.
History? Why could history give you trouble? Why, when I was your age, I could name all of the presidents in order.
Yes, but there weren't nearly so many of them to remember that.
You're right. The last president I had to remember was a Republican, I think. I've been reading your column in the Family Circle magazine. Pretty good stuff. With your pictures and your schoolwork and everything, I don't see how you find time to write a column.
Well, I visit different places, and I read the newspapers, and I listen to the radio.
You ever listen to my program?
Oh, yes, Mr. Crosby. Every day, all day long. But my favorite program next to you is Super Neutron, the man with the atomic lungs.
Atomic lungs? Is that standard equipment?
Oh, yes. He just breathes on criminals and they explode.
The boy that gets his cold is in big trouble.
Oh, Super Neutron never catches cold. He stratosphere country, the breath of food that's out of this world.
Got to be. Got a little snap, crackle, and pop.
No, they just go.
Sounds pretty dangerous, freedom.
Certainly. I have to so I can save the box top.
Yes, the box top. What do you do with them?
When I get 10 of them, I send them to Super Neutron, and he sends me the secret invisible code message.
The 10 box top?
Yes, and then I save 10 more, and Super Neutron sends me the chemical formula to make the secret code message visible.
This is pretty fascinating stuff, isn't it? What happens then?
Then I send in 10 more box tops, and Super Neutron sends me the code book so I can read the secret code.
Oh, and what does it say?
It says, this little girl has sent in 30 box tops.
Oh, wow. Look what I've missed being an old oatmeal man.
Not only that, Mr. Crosby, the Super Neutron stories are very interesting.
Oh, well, they probably are, Margaret, but I don't go for these modern stories so much. What happened to the kids who enjoy the old-fashioned fairy tales?
Well, children still like fairy tales.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that.
I've just written a fairy tale for our class plays, and I'll play the part of Cinderella.
Oh, Maggie, you'd be devastating to Cinderella. Who's going to be Prince Charming?
The most charming man I know.
Well, you got the script with you?
Right here. This is your copy.
Thank you.
I marked your part with red Crayola.
Well, tell the title, Cinderella Goes to Town.
This is a modern version. I wonder if Mr. Carpenter will play the narrator.
I'd be honored, Margaret. Shall we begin?
But first, you must have someone to play Cinderella's teeny assistant.
Well, I've got the people, all right. John Scott Trotter. He's not mean, but he's two people, all right.
But I was saving him for Cinderella's carriage.
Well, we'll get another carriage somewhere.
Then I guess we're all ready to begin, Mr. Cobb.
All right, Margaret. Ladies and gentlemen, Cinderella Goes to Town. Once upon a time, in 1948, there was a mean and haughty woman who had three daughters, Metro, Goldwyn, and Cinderella.
I'm from Paramount, you know.
Cosby, don't spoil the mood.
I'm sorry. Continue, Todd.
The two sisters were very mean to Cinderella. All day long, they would sit around eating Hershey bars and popsicles. And poor Cinderella was forced to stay out on the service porch with a Maytag washer and wash May's tag.
Mighty modern dress.
As the scene opens, Cinderella's two sisters are getting dressed for the big ball that Prince Mike Romanoff Charming is giving that night.
How does that sound?
Prince Mike Charming is giving a fancy dress ball to which he's invited all the grand and important people of Hollywood, such as agents. Cinderella's two mean sisters have been invited too, but not poor, sweet Cinderella. The first mean sister speaks.
Oh, mean sister?
The second mean sister speaks.
Yes, mean sister. What are you going to wear to the ball tonight? Well, I think I'll wear my pink velvet with the wasp waist.
I like to see you wanting to get into it.
Say, other mean sister, here's that wretched Cinderella. I'll call her. Cinderella?
Yes, mean sister. What do you want?
Here, take this stick out and have it Lee Pop tickled.
Oh, I'm so unhappy. I haven't been invited to the ball.
Who would invite you to the ball? Now go and do your work.
Yes, mean sister.
And so the two mean sisters got all dressed up and went to the ball and left poor Cinderella home in tears.
Oh, poor me. Here I am left all alone sitting in the corner of my cinders. I guess I'll tune into Bob Hope's program and have a good cry.
Don't cry, Cinderella. Dry your little tears. No, my child. I am Super Neutron, the man with the atomic lungs.
Sounds like a fresh pack of Raleigh.
Oh, Super Neutron.
I'm here to help you, my child. I have come to see that you attend Prince Charming's court ball.
But I have no skills addressed from this precious jewel.
I will touch you with my atomic wand. Here, my child. Now, look at yourself in this mirror.
Oh, I'm rather feeling beautiful. I have a new gown by Ellie Kelly, makeup by Wally Westmore, and hairstyling by Tony Cold Day.
Yes, Cinderella. And look at your dainty little feet.
Oh, how lovely. Beautiful glass slippers with high heels.
Now you must have a royal carriage. I will tap this pumpkin with my wand.
Oh, a beautiful Cadillac convertible drawn by Madman Munch.
Now you may leave for the ball, Cinderella. But remember, you must not stay a minute after the clock strikes 12. Because your Cadillac will again become a pumpkin. Madman Munch will turn into Honest John. And your clothes will become the ugly, dirty rags of the girl who sat among the cinders.
I remember the clock. And thank you, thank you, thank you a million trillion times for all these lovely gifts.
Oh, this stuff is nothing. You ought to guess who Miss Hush is sometime. Goodbye, Cinderella.
Goodbye, Super Neutron. And now I'm off to the ball.
My dear, may I say that you are the most beautiful princess I have ever seen.
Oh, thank you, Prince Charming. You're beautiful, too.
For many years, I've waited for a lovely princess like you to come along.
Oh, Prince Charming, you are so charming.
tell me that you will marry me and be my wife.
Oh, no, no, the clock strikes 12. I must leave.
But my darling, she's running away.
But you sure do.
Princess is fled, and I have naught but this tiny glass slipper to remember her by. I have searched all over my vast kingdom, but I cannot find the lovely girl whose foot fits into the slipper. I am in the depths of despair. I will kill myself with this dagger.
Hold everything.
Why, it's Supernatron.
Yes, say thy hand, Prince Charming. I know where you can find the beautiful girl to whom that slipper belongs.
Where, Super Neutron? Where does she live?
118 Elm Street.
I will drive there immediately on one of my fastest horses.
You'll never make it. Let me tap that slipper.
Oh, hello.
It's my princess, and she's in the slipper. Oh, my darling, now that I've found you, I shall never let you out of my arms again. Come, we will be married at once.
Oh, I'm so thrilled. You're so happily ever after.
Margaret, your play was delightful, and thank you. Now, if you'll just stand close by here, I'd like to sing you a fine old Irish tune, just for you.
I love that song.
Well, I'm so glad you did, my princess.
Oh, do you know what? What? You forgot to thank Mr. Carpenter for his wonderful acting of Super Neutron, the Mammothy of Thomas Lyons.
Oh, Margaret, you shouldn't have mentioned Carpenter's Lyons, too.
Why not?
He just took a deep breath and let go of the commercial.
Why not, thing? We got plenty to blow about. Brand new Philco models arriving at your dealer every day. Gorgeous Philco radio phonographs with everything for easy listening. Plus, plenty of record storage space as a dividend. Eye-catching new plastic portables, powerhouse performers, at a sensationally low price for Philco quality. And now, atomic bombshell for you record fans. Philco's new automatic way to play records. In a stunning, streamlined cable radio phonograph that's a regular ring-bang-do. A ball of fire on radio or record. A fashion splash in fine cabinet design. See it, hear it, get it at your Philco dealer. You'll blow your top, too, over the sensational new Philco 1401. The radio phonograph with the easiest way to play records ever invented. From the world's largest radio manufacturer, Philco, the leader.
You blew all right. Dust yourself off, folks.
If you ever go across the sea to Ireland, then maybe at the closing of your day, you will sit and watch the moon rise over Clyde and watch the barefoot gossips at their play. Just to hear again the ripple of the trout stream, the women in the meadows making hay, and to sit beside a turf fire in the cabin and see the sun go down on Galway Bay. For the breeze is blowing o'er the sea from Ireland, are perfumed by the heather as they blow, and the women in the uplands digging pretty speak a language that the strangers do not know. For the strangers came and tried to teach us their way. They scorned us just for being what we are. But they might as well go chasing after moonbeams. Or light a penny candle from a star. And if there's going to be a life hereafter, and somehow I'm sure there's gonna be, I will ask my God to let me make my heaven in that dear land across the Irish Sea. And now, before heading home for the late snack of corned beef and cabbage, I want to thank Princess Margaret O'Brien for stopping in tonight and marrying me.
And Mr. Crosby, when you go home, please be sure to explain to Mrs. Crosby that we were just play acting.
Oh, I think that you understand, Margaret. I want to tell you that I saw this picture of you in this last picture, and you did a remarkable job of acting in it, too, you big city.
It's a fun version with Johnny Thomas, George Murphy, and Bob Preston.
Oh, grand boys, every one of them. Well, Maggie, I hope I'll see you soon. Good night.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, folks. Thanks.
Produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Rhythm Mayors and Bing's guests, Wild Bill Elliott, and Peggy Lee. The Blarney on our St. Patrick's Day program was through the courtesy of Hal Cantor, Larry Clemens, and Blarney Dean. And remember, keep your eye on your Philco dealer now for the newest thing in radio from Philco, the leader.